listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Friday. The governor says only essential businesses in operation. Here we are on 200 FSR stations across this great nation. We got one of the pros who knows, Steve Fezzik. Steve, did you hear what Jonas did to you?
I heard it in person.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, I was going to lead the show with it, but we've got some big news in the NFL. So at the beginning of the next segment, we've got the tape. We're going to do a forensic analysis of just how egregious, just because he wasn't here, just how egregious Jonas was. Now, real quick, Fez, give us a report from inside the walls, right? There's the people that live inside the walls and then the people outside. How's it doing inside?
I am in lockdown, RJ. All I've seen is gardeners and a pool guy the past 4 days.
Now, that's fascinating. Still, though, the minions are grinding on the Fezzik estate.
Yes, there's been the normal activity.
I mean, did you say, hey, the envelope of cash is going to be under the rock, the third rock over? I mean, like, how was there any interaction?
Oh, I'm not opening up the door when it rings. Nope.
So they're like beating on the door. Like maybe they need to go to restroom, whatever. And it's just like you're acting like you don't, you're going la, 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 like you're not even hearing it.
On air 24 hours. Nope.
I mean, Jonas, I just saved you there because who's going to feel bad about that guy? He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we've got NFL stories left and right, another weekend of people looking around for things to watch in the world of sports, what is the Vegas lead here on this Friday?
You know, I think this is big. Might seem soap opera-y, but I think it's big. It's coach of Tampa Bay, Bruce Arians, saying Antonio Brown, nah, no way.
Yeah, and on the Tiki and Tierney show on Thursday, Tampa Bay Bucks head coach Bruce Arians shot down the idea of adding Antonio Brown. Very well aware of what Antonio Brown brings to a team, said it wouldn't be a fit personality or player-wise there in Tampa.
Yeah, so first off, is Bruce Arians opening up a big blockbuster movie or something? Is it me or he's done like 22 interviews in the last couple, like this week?
I haven't heard him curse on any of them either, which is probably even more impressive if you know Bruce Arians.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, to me, this is a weird kind of, he's doing a tour and I don't think it's a coincidence, right? I mean, I guess the question is how much of this is him wanting the attention? Which, again, not saying that's horrible, but okay. How much is it is part of the deal with the Tampa ownership was, if we sign this thing, we got to get out and work it? I mean, my question is this. Right when the signing happened, if I would have said over under for appearances in national media or media by Bruce Arians, would it have been close to this number, or has this been much more than you would have guessed?
Well, I think it's uncharted territory for a lot of people because there was no real interest in wanting to interview a Tampa Bay Bucks head coach before. Brady gets there. It's the biggest story in the NFL in decades, and so now everybody wants to talk to the head coach of Tampa Bay.
And I don't have any doubt that it's a smart move by the shows. I'm saying, could you imagine if Belichick signed a big free agent? He didn't do the Randy Moss tour.
No.
After they sign him.
He would do one teleconference. He would do one conference call. He'd have as many media members as wanted to call in, and then you would never hear from him until the season started.
And to me, again, it's not trying to say that it's a problem, but rather it might lend some insight into the thinking Tampa Bay had when they signed Brady, that maybe this doesn't make perfect sense on the field. And again, this is where the debate really is centered. Steve Fezzik, Vegas, pretty aligned with Brady is a slightly below average quarterback, is what's projected based on last year, based on his age, 19th in our rankings at pregame.com that Fez does. Now, you can say, well, in the playoffs, he'd be better. I think so, but still, 12, 13, 14, optimistically, because remember, the playoffs are after a long season, and Brady tends to trend down. Now, when he's had the buys, he's been able to then have that bye. Then there's a bye before the Super Bowl, 2 weeks. His age hasn't hurt him as much in the playoffs. Tampa is certainly not a favorite to get a bye, right? So, and you know, I should know this. Is this new playoff system with only the number one seed getting that starts next year?
Yeah, that starts this upcoming season.
Yeah, so, I mean, long shot to get a bye.
Yeah, correct.
So, Fez, would you agree, we've debated the whole, okay, 19th is where we got Brady ranked. We've also said in the playoffs, the pressure, his leadership upgrade. But unless somehow Tampa, very unlikely, got the bye, wouldn't the fact we'd be after the long season and then no bye pre-Super Bowl, first three playoff games, does the fact that he's tired and banged up without a bye most likely mitigate the upgrade for the playoffs? So I'm weighing playoffs pressure, Brady upgrade. But game 17, 18, and 19, no rest, downgrade. Does that maybe even itself out?
I think the downgrade might even be more significant than the playoff experience. And I'm thinking about New England's past season. How many times, RJ, do we see in their last two games, New England runs the ball so much more, even when Brady plays and he gets so much less activity, and then they get that bye. He is spoiled with inactivity in late December.
He has been, past tense. But you're right. I mean, Belichick really took the air out of the ball the last couple years in those late season games. Maybe too much against Miami, but I think that a year older, the factors we just laid out, our 19 ranking for Brady makes a ton of sense. I know a lot of people are going to say you're wrong. Well, we are willing to bet we're right. That's what Vegas does exceptionally well. You only got to be right 55% of the time too. That's what else is important. People who struggle when they're wrong, they don't learn, right? Because they're always trying to figure out a way to make themselves right, even though they're not. In Vegas, Fez, if you hit 55%, that means you lose 45%. You're just smiling. You're just behind it. You're really what you do now, right?
Yeah, and 55%.
You're ensconced in your mansion with your walls, and you let in a few, help, but you do not interact with them no matter what.
Pretty much. And 55% is the gold standard. That's not even necessary. You hit 54%, you can make a very good living betting on sports.
And a drunk baby flipping coins can hit 50%. I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas. So we've ascertained now, I think, that the Brady deal doesn't necessarily make sense on a football level. I think what we've seen with Bruce Arians and the press tour for the big opening in September gives us some insight into the mindset, the business side with Tampa, not in any way questioning it, but pointing it out. Let's get to this, though, Antonio Brown stuff. I think this is more than just a soap opera, because one of the concepts in football handicapping is strength upon strength, meaning, and the Eagles did this last offseason, didn't work. Best defensive line, one of the best in football. What was their big signing? Defensive line. Because what ends up happening is if you get a situation that you're unguardable or you're unblockable, you could make the case the Rams, the season before this last season, when they played the Pats in the Super Bowl, the D-line, strength upon strength for them also. And why does that make logical sense? Because all you're trying to do is on the opposing team is find, create a weakness, right? Create some exploitable matchup. Well, if you've got two really good wide receivers, and now you throw in Antonio Brown on the inside especially, how do you guard that? I mean, we literally have gone from if they sign Brown. And Fez, let me ask you, because I kind of get where some people are going to say, you know, Brown, he's older. He'd be disruptive in the locker room. You know, there's a lot of ways to act like this is a nostalgia story. Like, oh, it's a big name, but does it really matter? My point is, if Brown's anywhere near, and we don't know because what's he played, right? One game with the Pats, but he looked mighty good in that game. If he's physically where he was there and he's your third receiver, isn't that gigantic?
I don't think so. And the reason being is I don't think that AB is a top 20 wide receiver anymore.
I mean, first off, whoa. How in the heck do you feel qualified to make that assessment?
Well, I know how I know.
Well is not an answer. Go ahead.
He's over age 30. Uh-huh. And last year, there's only two guys in the whole league that were in the top 20 in reception yards that were over age 30. So,
okay, and so we're talking about counting stats here, right? So what you're saying is that there's a bunch of them playing, but somehow they're not performing? Or is it that none of them are playing because they can't make the team?
Well,
Or you're going to say, I don't know, because I looked at Pro Football Reference and saw their age there, and I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Well, I just find it interesting how...
You're not making much of a case.
Julio Jones is the only guy at age 30...
I got you're going to repeat the same statement. I got that. All right? There's not a lot of old receivers. How's Julio Jones? Where's he rank in yours?
He's clear-cut top 10, if not top 5 wide receiver.
Okay, but he's over 30.
Yes.
And where was Julio Jones and Antonio Brown 3 years ago? How much older is Jones than Brown? Or vice versa?
They are,
Uh-huh.
AB is going to be 32, and Jones, I believe, is 31.
Say it again?
AB is going to be 32 this year, and I believe Jones is going to be 31.
So when you say I believe, that's you saying you don't know.
I do not know.
Okay. So let's generally say, we can look, maybe Jonas, if you could look that up, if you got your computer in front of you, is... To me, Fez, what you're saying here is if Brown was a normal receiver, a normal dude, at his age, he just isn't producing. But he's not a normal dude. This is probably you could make the case in the last 10 years, he's the best receiver in football. Because it was always, as a Steeler fan, it was always Brown and somebody, or maybe two names. And those names seem to change a lot, but Brown's just stayed there consistently, was in the top three receivers up until literally his last year in Pittsburgh, he was perceived as that.
To your point, he is the same age right now as Julio Jones. They're both 31.
Oh, my gosh. So when you made your guess and you said, I believe, it always seems to err towards you being right, though. You ever notice that?
Well, I guess was wrong. They're the same age, and you can make the case that those have been two of the premium wide receivers the past three, you know, to 10 years. So,
well,
yeah.
For sure. And obviously people are going to get old at some point. And I don't think Brown has 3 or 4 years left in him. And I think there is a question how much he has left. I'm not saying it's not. But my point was... Based upon the assumption that what we saw from Brown last year in the one game is what we'd see this year. He was the best third receiver in football.
And, I agree with that.
And to me, that idea of strength upon strength, you could have an average quarterback, Tom Brady, average. And if you have the best three receivers at each slot, you know, the best one, the best two, the best three, or some variation, I think they could make the case they have the best two also. I mean, neither of those guys are the best receiver, but you'd have the best receiving core in football and a defense with Tampa that's mighty underrated. mighty under. Next week, we're going to break down how good that defense is. It didn't show up on the scoreboard, but, man, the stats were good. Jonas, voice of the fan, Brown hypothetically signing with Tampa. How big of a story, football story, would that be?
Oh, it'd be a huge story. And I would actually argue that we look at Brown's age, but keep in mind he basically had a season off. So it's not like he's got another year of wear and tear. So his 31 might be a different 31. It might actually be closer to a 30-year-old as that 31-year-old because he only played one game and that was it. So basically an entire season off. And if he works as hard as everybody says he does, I think he'd be ready to play. I just think this was more about personality and
yes.
Bruce Arians having issues with that.
And that's my point. And yeah. Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we've established now, though Fez resisted, he relented. We established Brown to Tampa would be a big football story. Why isn't it happening? We're going to break that down, and we're going to talk about Jonas' hit and run against Fezzik.
That's coming up next, but first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone. AutoZone, he's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's talk about Greg the Leg real quick because the Cowboys are not afraid to sign guys.
Yeah, the Cowboys reached a deal, according to reports, with Greg Zuerlein, formerly of the L.A. Rams, the kicker, a three-year deal worth $7.5 million.
Yeah, $3.5 guaranteed, it looks like. He missed 10 field goals last year. And it gets you thinking, Fez. We always say sample size, sample size. That's what gamblers say. What does that mean? It means if we're flipping a coin, but I have some edge. Let's say you're giving me $1.05 every time I win the coin flip. I give you $1 every time you win. I can't, if the coin is fair, I can't lose unless we only do a couple of flips. And then I can easily lose. So the casinos, whoever has the mathematical edge, wants the sample size to be as big as possible. So whenever we see a guy's been a great kicker his whole career to the point of being called Greg the Leg, that's a pretty good sign. You're pretty good as a kicker. To him having a horrible season, Fez, our first thoughts as gamblers is sample size, right? Long-term is what matters.
Exactly right, especially because Zuerlein is 32. Now, that's really old for a wide receiver, but that's perfectly fine for a place kicker.
Except I wonder, that is this an example of Dallas being just brand-oriented? So brand-oriented. Because Greg the Leg does have a brand. We usually aren't talking about kicker signings, though this is going to be related to Dak. But let's harken back to the times that one kick, one missed kick, not 10, has meant so much to a career. The poster child for that, I think, is Mike Vanderjack. He was with the Colts. This was in the 2005 season, Super Bowl 40 season. Steelers went in, were over a touchdown underdog. That was a team that won the Super Bowl. Very well officiated game, I think, against Seattle. And Vanderjack had a 40-some yarder. Now, when he walked out to kick that kick, he was the most accurate kicker in the history of the world. It's just that simple. He was the best ever to do this. He was in his eighth season, so he wasn't particularly old. Best kicker ever. He missed that kick. Wasn't even close. Literally, for the rest of his career, Mike Vanderjack had 7 field goal attempts. And he made 6 of them. And was out of the league. Now, that makes no sense. It's such a head game kicking. And if you... I think you got to account for that. And in fact, it just... whenever... the default Vegas approach doesn't work in a given situation, it freezes me because it's like when the smart money is on the public side, I don't know what to do because I know I want to bet against the public, but I know there's some rationale that makes the way the public's looking at it in this case, hypothetically, valid, which are times that's the case where, yeah, recency is what matters. Well, that means then the public's dumb way of doing things is the right way. I think the public's way that Barney at the bar is going to say, Vanderjack stinks. He missed 10 field goals. But maybe that's the right approach with kickers. Any thoughts?
I'm having a flashback to Greg the Leg Zuerlein missing by about a foot in that game against Seattle, and maybe he wasn't the same mentally all year long. This I know, though. Brett Maher, the kicker last year for Dallas, is going to be bad his entire career. So this can only be positive.
Yeah, but if you're paying guaranteed money, so let's do this. When we come back, we're going to add in the DAC recap from yesterday, get a quick update, and Fez is going to give us his thumbs up and thumbs down on the big moves this offseason.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Big name out there still waiting to be signed long term, if and when it is Dak Prescott.
So, Fez, yesterday I had this theory. It hit me in the middle of doing the show prep. Wow. And here's my theory. I want to hit you with it. Give me your thoughts. The reason quarterbacks especially do not leave the team that drafted them is because to do that, you would have to then play your fourth year. Let's assume you're a first-round pick, though. In this case, Dak, everything moves a year less. Same concept. You'd play your fourth year for hardly anything, at least in the scheme of things, if you're an elite quarterback. Fifth year, yeah, you're going to have to then play for the tag in theory or the team option. And it ends up being that if you can sign before your fourth year, after three, you then have 2 years early, you're getting that lifetime security. And if not, you play that last year before the tag or the team option really cheap. If Dak would have had, you know, knock on wood, it didn't happen, a blown out knee, a career ender at the end of last season, it would have been a travesty. I mean, I know we always say, oh, they make enough. No. I mean, Jones, you've talked about this. How much has Dak made in 4 years?
$2 million plus.
I mean, listen, you can't be the Cowboy quarterback for 4 years and think that's a good number. So usually they don't want to play that last year getting nothing because the risks are too high. So they take a discount for the team from their hometown team. Then you can sign that big, big contract. That's over now. That risk is done. He can make 30 plus this year and literally be a free agent after this year. Why does he even consider a long-term contract? Now, I think if you don't sign him before last season, it only makes sense to wait. Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you because all the risk, unless he had some insurance, right, was last year if he had some devastating injury. Now that he's going to get one big payday, he can go anywhere he wants. It doesn't make any sense
for him to
sign unless he's getting top dollar with Dallas.
I agree. I think, if anything, Jerry Jones made the mistake before last season. I don't know who was being reasonable, who wasn't. Real quick as we go, Fez, give us your – next week we're going to spend a lot of time on, with the benefit of a week or so, grading free agency. Who did well, who didn't, surprise moves. But the number one – let's tease it here. Number one strongest opinion you've got compared to consensus – on one of the moves, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I think the Chicago Bears, everyone's grading the Bears as having a terrible offseason. RJ, I think the upgrade at quarterback with Foles, who has experience with Nagy in his career, and the team had lost faith in Trubisky, that trumps everything else.
So right now the odds are Bears starting quarterback week one, Nick Foles -175, Trubisky +140 or so. So this is an example where we're looking at, you know, over 60% chance Nick Foles is going to be the quarterback. And remember, what do we know about Nick Foles that we didn't know a year ago? A year ago, he signed for a big, big contract with Jacksonville. What do we know? He got hurt. That's pretty much all we know. Because when he came back, was he banged up? Was the team lost? I don't know. But I don't take those handful of games he played bad after his injury as telling us too much. So I think you're getting Nick Foles right now, if you're a Bears fan, not that much more damage than he was before, and before he was worth a big, big contract.